Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I am Rochelle Denae Post. This is season 5, episode number 7. And I am excited today because for those of you who've been listening, you know that most of my podcasts have been me talking to myself and having a conversation with myself about things that are happening in education. But today I have a guest with me. And so I'm very excited to dive into our chat. And a little bit about my guest, I'll tell you, is Mike Judd will be joining me. And he is the Senior Curriculum Manager at Nearpod. And so I love Nearpod and I cannot wait to have a chat with Mike. So first of all, Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm always happy to have guests on my show and I invite anybody to join in. But for anybody who's listening, you know, first of all, if you could give a little bit of a background to, you know, your journey and what led you into your role at Nearpod.
Yeah, so I started at Flocabulary before Nearpod acquired Flocabulary. So probably 6-ish years ago, I started as a freelance lyricist and rapper at Flocabulary. So I was an independent contractor and I would write Flocabulary songs based on the research that I was provided from the full-time team. Over time, you know, did a bunch of songs for probably 6 months or so, then a full-time job opened up and applied, ended up getting it on the curriculum team as a curriculum writer. And since then, you know, roles have changed, things have whatever, and now I'm a senior curriculum manager at Nearpod and Flocabulary. So started with Flocabulary and then eventually Nearpod acquired Flocabulary. So worked on, you know, all kinds of different stuff in the time here.
Yeah, well, the way that you described it, it sounds super interesting. So I have to ask you, like, on a day-to-day basis, like, what is a typical day for you?
Yeah, so the curriculum, so there's a lot of different things that we might be working on a given day. The curriculum team is kind of the voice of, you know, the standards and student objectives that we want to hit throughout the production process of our content. So my primary focus is on video content. So that's Flocabulary, songs and videos, and all the lesson activities that go along with it. And then Nearpod original videos, which are non-song videos. So I might be helping figure out what topics we're going to cover by researching standards. I might be researching an individual topic to figure out what needs to be covered in a song or in a video. I might be reviewing videos, serving as sort of a fact checker throughout the process to make sure that we're aligning to the student objectives that we decided were, you know, our North Star throughout the production process. Or I might be writing lesson activities. So might be writing reading comprehension passages, picking vocab terms. So it's a whole lot of different stuff. And then on top of that, sometimes I write the rap songs. Sometimes I'm reviewing other people's writing work as well. So a given day can be pretty different.
Yeah, you are doing like all the things, everything, but I'm sure that keeps it really interesting and exciting just because and that's one of the things I like about teaching and the work that I do outside of the classroom too, is like you get to be involved in a lot of different activities and it's not always the same thing. And people will say like, why do you do what you do? And it's like, cause every day, like it's a new experience. You have opportunities to like see what needs to be done and you're also learning and growing with that. So I think that is very cool, but I'm sure that it could probably be a little bit stressful at times too, just as with any job. But I want to go back because I know a lot of people are familiar with Nearpod, of course, but some people may not be as familiar with Flocabulary. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about like, what's the connection between the two?
Sure. Yeah. So the way that Nearpod and Flocabulary came together was in 2019. I think I have it right. Nearpod acquired Flocabulary. So Flocabulary was its own company from 2005 until then. So basically Flocabulary was founded in 2005. With a focus on SAT vocabulary. So, you know, the idea, I can remember the lyrics to my favorite song, but I can't remember my vocabulary terms for the SATs. It was audio only, but then over time we've grown to kind of a full-on learning platform that's centered around hip hop. So we make music covering, you know, K-12 topics across subjects. So now the platform is centered around a video and a song on each lesson page, but also interactive lesson activities, a quiz, reading passages, a vocab game, vocab flashcards for students to review, And I say platform because teachers can assign lessons, they can review student work. So, you know, what kind of started as audio only and selling CDs and going to schools to perform has really turned into something else. And, you know, with streaming video and lesson activities that go along. And so students can kind of get hooked by the video, learn a lot from the video, but then there's plenty of other things for them to do, going a little bit deeper into the lesson.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, I've been familiar with Nearpod for a really long time, and Flowcabulary was not something that I had used in my classroom. And I know that more recently, with some of the different changes and everything, I've been using lessons in my Spanish classes and my STEAM classes for years, and I threw in just one random, like, get you up and moving kind of thing, and they did not know how to take that. They were like, did you do this on purpose? Like, are you sure this is connected? And I had not really thought about it because, you know, for a lot of people, they might just say, well, I'm just a whatever kind of a teacher. You know, I don't know how this can connect. I don't know how to use this. And that's one of the things that I love about using tools like Nearpod and Flowcabulary is like all educators can do it. And so, you know, I know my own experience, which I just share with you. I mean, that was kind of funny. A couple of the students were like, do I have to stand up? I said, look, if I'm standing here doing this, you are definitely doing this. But, you know, how do educators use it in their classroom? Like, what are some suggestions that you would make or some ideas or things that you've heard from other educators that are already using it?
Sure. Yeah. There's a few different ways Flowcabulary is used in the classroom. I think the most fun and maybe most obvious, and the one I've seen the most when we go to visit classrooms, is front of classroom. So the videos and songs really lend themselves to be consumed with the entire class. So we see students singing along. We see sometimes students dancing, sometimes students just watching intently. There's many different ways that you can enjoy a video. But then that can shift into teachers assigning particular lesson activities for students to do on their own. They might even assign the video to be viewed, you know, for each student individually. So then students can be working in small groups or working independently through our quiz, through our vocabulary flashcards, through our read and respond passages to kind of just go even deeper on the lesson that they're covering. So all of the lesson activities cover the same topic. And it's kind of a great opportunity on our side as curriculum writers and curriculum developers to go deeper than we made it in the song with those lesson activities. So it's giving students an opportunity to work on their own, but also as a group. So there's a few different ways that it can work. And then on the Nearpod side, we have a lot of Flowcabulary videos available, you know, depending on access level in Nearpod, we have them available to be embedded right into Nearpod lessons too. So, you know, you may be teaching a physics lesson and you did not expect to be playing a song at the beginning, but a Flowcabulary song can be embedded right at the beginning as a hook. It can be embedded at the end as a review or somewhere else in the content. So there's a lot of different ways, and it's kind of nice to have Nearpod and Flowcabulary work together. Not to go on for too long, but we started making something we call Nearpod original videos, non-music videos that we had originally only on Nearpod, but we saw that video usage was so high on Flowcabulary, we decided we were going to start adding those non-song videos too. So, you know, we took some content from Flowcabulary, put it on Nearpod, and then we took some content from Nearpod and put it on Flowcabulary. So it's really nice to get creative with the ways that we're presenting, you know, all of the content that we have.
Yeah, and I love the idea because, you know, one of the things, you know, I had read a book years ago and it was talking about, you know, students being active in learning. And I was so uncomfortable for years, like if my students were up and out of their seats, because I'm thinking like, what are the other teachers or what administrators going to think? But then the number was something like 12,700 hours on average students in grades K through 12 spend sitting. And that equates to, I think, like 470 days. And I've spoken about it at different conferences. And I say, like, just imagine if I close the doors and you cannot move. And like, of course, you can go on the internet and you can find out what date in the future that will be. And it's like, oh my gosh, that is a really long time. But when you have something, and I love that you gave the example of like physics too, because I know that like students that I see in my class, you know, they have double physics periods. Like, what a better opportunity to go and do a lesson, get the John Travoltage out of the Nearpod that my students love, and then, you know, have this activity where they get up and they're moving, because that movement is so important and they're actively engaged in learning and it's fun. Now, I don't know how much I would be singing a little bit in it, because even today I had spoken to my class about, you know, memory things of how to remember verbs and, you know, just all of those different mnemonic devices. I said, you make up a song or something. And they said, well, can you give us an example? I was like, oh, no, I'm not singing. I will lip sync. Not a problem. But I love that you can just pull these in. And I remember the first time that I had seen that I could do that in Nearpod last year. And I just, that's when I said before, you know, I just put that in and it was a super surprise. I mean, it was a surprise for me because it was the first time I had done it, but just to see the students' response. And I thought, you know, this is something that I definitely need to be doing more often. And for any educators that are listening, you know, if you think like, I don't know if it'll work, I don't know how to go, well, you don't know until you try. So do it, dive in, have a little fun, take a little bit of a break. You can make it work in any grade level content area that you're teaching, and all the resources are there on the site too. So it really does make it easier. So anyway, but going back to like the music, especially the hip hop music, you know, we talked about it a little bit here and there, but can you talk a little bit about, you know, how the hip hop music promotes learning, and, you know, what difference does it make? You know, what have educators said about it? Or do you have any like examples of like what students' response has been to the idea of, you know, hip hop music in whatever the class might be?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's a fine line, of course, to be making hip hop for the classroom. It can be really hard to make sure that you're not being cheesy and you're being grade level appropriate and you're making quality music that students are going to want to listen to and learn from. So we work with working artists, working rappers, working producers to make what we make. And we let them kind of handle the style. So that's sort of a big thing for us, is to make sure that we're being authentic in how we make the hip hop that we use. But, you know, it goes way back to the beginning. The whole idea of, I can remember lyrics to a song, but I can't remember stuff in school. And that, what that comes down to is engagement, right? So that's the first thing, is we want to be engaging in order to get students' attention and deliver the information in a way that might be unexpected or might be different. In addition to that, hip hop, as far as music goes, is pretty much the perfect genre because it just has more words. So studies show 2 to 3 times more words in a hip hop song than any other genre. So what that does is it allows us to work in vocabulary terms more often, but also to provide context, right? It's one thing to say the word, but another thing to include context clues in sort of an engaging way in which we're rhyming. So for me, the biggest thing that I see, we have some teachers that tag us on Twitter or send us videos of their students singing along. And that's what it is to me. And, you know, not every student has to dance. Not every student has to sing along. There are so many different things. They might like the instrumental. They might like the rapper's voice. They might be locked into the content. But at the end of the day, seeing students sing back the songs that we make feels very much a way to know that it's working and is engaging. And hopefully that's the case, even if the students aren't singing back.
Yeah. And I, you know, and even just today when we were talking about, you know, I took French in high school, that was what I studied in high school and in college, actually, and couldn't get a job teaching just French. So I got the Spanish degree, but I was talking about the way that I learned French, and it was, you know, the repetition. I had the same French teacher for 2 different levels. And I was joking with my students. I said, I don't know that you would appreciate these methods today, because one of them was we had to memorize poetry and stand in front of the room and recite it. And I had forgotten about it temporarily. And I said, oh my goodness, she had us remember songs and we had to stand in front of our classmates and sing by ourselves. Wow. And their faces were like, are you gonna make us do that? And I said, no, but I do know from experience, like in showing some videos in my classes over the years and all the different levels, like there are catchy songs and the kids still remember like the words. And these are some kids that I've had in class that I haven't had in like 2 years. And they come back and they just start saying, you know, the lyrics of this song. And sometimes they don't necessarily remember like what the context of it was, but they remember that song because they're so tuned in to music and sounds and the movement, whether or not they get up and dance or anything like that. So I love that component of it because, you know, in my classroom too, I always have music playing when they come in. And sometimes technology is a little bit slower, so it doesn't load up. And the kids will come in and say, like, where's the music? Because it's always in Spanish for them, you know, just to kind of create that environment. But yeah, so I mean,
terrific.
Yeah, and I love it. And I know that, you know, with music or whatever we're using in our classroom, you know, we're talking about vocabulary, like it really can help students to build, you know, vocabulary because like they hear it, that repetition, you know, maybe they're singing it or they have a dream and it's like they can't get it out of their head. But that's not a bad thing because they need that to build the skills. So how does vocabulary, you know, help students to build like the vocabulary and that comprehension?
Yeah. So right from the beginning, so what we, the end result of the research process for the curriculum team is something we call notes for lyricists, right? And that's telling a rapper, here's what you have to cover. But with all of our, with each set of notes for lyricists, we include about 10 must-have vocabulary terms. So it says non-negotiable, you have to include these terms. They're bolded, we provide the definitions. And from the beginning, we have those key vocabulary terms in mind. Sometimes we pick 12 and we, you know, only 10 make it in, so we use the 10, but we want to get those vocabulary terms in the song that we feel are most critical to that lesson. We do that. And then in addition to having the terms included, there's our vocab cards, which are flashcards for students to review the vocabulary terms, as well as our vocabulary game, which is a gamified opportunity for students to build a beat by dragging and dropping and answering questions about particular vocabulary terms. Fill in the blank in a sentence, matching a vocabulary term to an image, matching a definition, synonyms, antonyms. On top of that, in our read and respond passages, which is a reading comprehension session section, we make sure we include each vocabulary word, again, those key vocabulary terms. So what we do, it's not only just making sure that students are exposed to those important vocabulary terms in the song, we're having multiple exposures in various contexts of the same key term. So, you know, in order for students to be able to understand what they're reading, they have to be familiar with such a high percentage of the terms that are included in a given text. So to us, our primary focus is that vocabulary, but then that focus on vocabulary almost certainly builds up into reading comprehension. So it's kind of a cool way, and it can feel rigid, as you know, I've been a rapper myself in these, and sometimes it does feel rigid and sometimes they're difficult words, but you know, it's absolutely critical to get those in. And we're pretty flexible with the style with some of our rappers. We, you know, we give poetic license, but when it comes to those vocabulary terms, it's really, really critical.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, it's not an easy process to go through to put all that together, but the fact that you're like connecting it. And so, you know, it's authentic and it's meaningful and it's relevant and it's fun. And so, you know, the kids are going to, even if they're not fully engaged to begin with, like, I misunderstood student engagement years ago and really have worked on it since then to bring in different ways of learning. And something like this, you know, it really does give opportunities for all students where, like, you know, there's going to be some at first they're like, okay, this is all right. But like, then they kind of, they're excited about it. And then they're excited about the class and learning, and it kind of pulls it all together so nicely. So I love, you know, the focus on music. I love the focus on like the rap and how, you know, you actually build these lessons and build this, you know, for educators to use. And another question I had for you too, as one of the many things I love about like Nearpod and with vocabulary is you have so many choices. So if an educator is looking and they say, well, you know, I'm teaching fifth grade and this is the topic, you know, I don't know where to begin. Like they can find something, or in terms of, you know, current events and things that are happening in the world or social emotional learning, like they can find these relevant topics. And sometimes there are some fun activities to, you know, highlight some things that are happening or things that we recognize. And so I know that I recall reading about a contest that was held earlier, and it was Vocabulary's Black History Month rap contest. So can you share a little bit about, you know, that contest and any of the other things that you have done in terms of contests with students?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favorite things that we do. So we have three student contests throughout the year that we run every year, year in and year out. And basically what it is an opportunity for students surrounding a particular month. So we had the Black History Month rap contest in February. We have an AAPI Heritage Month script writing contest on Nearpod in May. And then we have a Hispanic Heritage Month rap contest in September and October. And so it's an opportunity for students. They're invited to research a historical figure or other cultural topics as well, and write their own lyrics about that particular, usually a historical figure, about that particular figure. In the case of the Nearpod one, write their own script. Students submit via parent, teacher, and we grade it based on a rubric and whittle it down until we get our winners. And we get finalists and we have the students wrap it on video. And ultimately what we come out with is a video that was inspired by and often largely authored by the students. There are some really, really talented students out there. And we have a final video. So we're just finishing up videos on Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass from this past year's, this 2023 Black History Month. And then we have a video on the actor Anime Wong for the AAPI Heritage Month contest. So it's an opportunity for students to really be engaging with those particular months that come throughout the year. What is exciting about it is, of course, the final video that we have. But we've had thousands of students enter since we started in 2019. And yes, we love the final video. It's a really cool opportunity. The students get to meet the rapper that recorded it and they collaborated with. But ultimately, what's most important about it is the students who are just doing it. Doesn't matter if they win. They're just taking an opportunity to engage with history, engage with a particular culture, go through a research process, and then do something creative using that research. So yeah, we've had a small handful of winners, probably 16 or so over the course of the time, but it's more about the hundreds and thousands of students who have had the chance to really kind of dig into those particular times of the year.
Yeah, and that's, I can't imagine the number of that you would go through and watch, but also like how rewarding and exciting that is to see, and the student creativity and the fact that so many get so excited about it because, you know, they're learning about, you know, the technology because they're creating a video and they're doing the research and they're learning, you know, digital citizenship and all of these things. But they're also learning about really important events that are happening throughout the year. And you're highlighting, you know, the three that you mentioned. And so was there anything in particular, you know, you said you started, I think, 2019. Is there something that, you know, somebody said, you know what, we should do this? Like, was there an inspiration behind this?
Two things. We always want to find ways to incorporate student voice into our content. And that can be hard. That can be hard to do. And the second thing was, you know, hip hop's a Black art form. So in 2019, we said Black History Month, this is a perfect fit to run a student contest. Shortly thereafter, because, you know, Hispanic young people in the origin of hip hop also go hand in hand. So shortly after, we added the Hispanic Heritage Month rap contest. And then we were like, we want to do one on Nearpod because we started doing these non-music videos and we said, oh, AAPI Heritage, that'd be perfect. So we ended up in a good place and they're spaced out throughout the year in such a way that it really works nicely. But really what it came down to is student voice. We just want students to be involved. We want students to be, you know, participating in writing their own lyrics, being creative, but also, you know, learning more and engaging with history.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for anybody who is curious, like going and checking out, you know, some of the submissions and the winners and just seeing, like, when you see that excitement and the impact on students, like, if you've ever had any doubts about like trying something like that, you know, or using something in your classroom, it's like when you see their response, like that's all it takes is that excitement. And it's great for students to see that they're creating something that's, you know, going to be used and it has purpose. Like, they feel like they're valued in the process. And you're right, like the student voice and choice, like that is something that we've been trying to work on for years and saying, hey, you know, we have this contest and it's not just any old contest, you know, there's a specific focus. And in that process, you're learning about this very important period or these people or whatever the topic is. I think it's awesome. I was looking at the site and checking it out and it's like, all you see are smiles, you know, the kids, the smiles. And I know that, you know, whoever submitted them, probably super proud, whether you win or not. It's just about diving in and taking part in something like that. So I think that is awesome. As we all know, I'm super excited about, you know, Nearpod and Flicabulary and learning more about this. So is there anything else that you would like to share for people who may not have tried Flicabulary, or any tips or anything, you know, last words of wisdom, I could say, to share with the listeners?
I think the other thing that I would mention on Flicabulary, you know, you mentioned current events before we got into the student contests. Mm-hmm. We have, and we've been doing this for a long time, we have something called Week in Rap that we do every single week. And, well, every single week during the school year, not during the summer. And we cover 5 to 8 news headlines in a song that we put out every single Friday or every single Thursday evening. So that is something that's one of my favorite things to work on. So Tuesday, we pick the headlines, we write the lyrics Tuesday afternoon, we edit the video Wednesday into Thursday, we write the lesson plan Thursday, and we post it on Thursday night, and then we do it again the next week. And it's become a ritual for some teachers, and it's a really cool way to engage with the news. And what it really is sort of teeing teachers up to talk about current events, because we're going fast, right? Four rapped lines per story is the goal. Sometimes it takes 6, sometimes 8 if it's a complicated story. But it's just a great way to get students thinking. And, you know, we're doing it every week. So that's something else fun that we do. And there's a shout out contest each time, and students can submit and potentially get a video of them waving at the beginning and get a shout out in the Week in Rap. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and that's super cool, but that sounds like a ton of work, but it's very valuable and important work that you're doing. So that in itself is awesome, but it's probably like as soon as you're done and you have a thing ready for Friday, it's like, oh, wait, we got to start again. Because like but you have the summer off. So you get a little bit catch up.
It's so fun. It's fun. And we've been doing it for so long, and it's in addition to everyone's jobs. It's nobody's main job to do the Week in Rap. We all do it together on our team. And it kind of just happens. We review it. We make sure it works. We fact check it. Some weeks are tougher than others. Some weeks are easier. But yeah, it's really fun way, and just fun, you know, a fun way for us to engage with the news and, you know, keep track of what's going on and what makes sense in the classroom and what might not, and things like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure educators that have already checked into that appreciate that. And if you haven't yet, well then, hey, there you go. Now you have a new idea to dive into. So Mike, thank you for joining me for today's episode. And for anybody who's listening that would like more information, where could they connect with you and learn more about Flicabulary?
Sure. It's flicabulary.com is the best place to go. There's some free lessons, so you can check it out. There's also going to be links to be able to reach out to open up a conversation about potentially getting it, school individual license, things like that. But then also at Flicabulary on all social media platforms. So that's another great way to just know what's going on, what we're working on. And yeah, I think that's about it.
All right. Well, thanks again for being my guest on today's episode.
Great. Thank you so much, Rochelle. It was fun to be on here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. And for everybody, thanks for listening. And we will catch you the next time. And all the links, all the information, everything you need will be shared in the show notes. So see you next time.